Let us pray. Help us, O God, to hear your word with attention and understanding, and so write its message on our hearts that its power may be manifest in our lives, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Australian pop group The Seekers, which might have been familiar to some of us, are remembered for the talent that brought them international fame in the 1960s. In one of their many hits, they dreamed, "We'll build a world of our own that no one else can share. All our sorrows we leave far behind us there. And I know you will find there'll be peace of mind when we live in a world of our own." A world of our own. We are living in an increasingly chaotic and unpredictable world. While part of Christian faith is to learn the acceptance of reality, we may all wish to change the world from the point of view of climate change, injustice, war, poverty, and a myriad of other problems we could mention on the world stage. Both our Old and our New Testament readings take up the theme of hope for the world this morning. Though we may experience the uncertainty of life, we do have the certainty of God's promise of renewal. Our New Testament reading for today, which is of course Advent Sunday, speaks to us of the second coming of Jesus, his return to earth. Even the promise of his return brings great hope to the world. We've been promised in Acts 1, in 1 Thessalonians 4, and in many other passages throughout the Bible that one day when God remakes the entire world, Jesus himself will take center stage. He will appear again as Paul and John promise us. Now, since nobody knows when that will be, it's vital that all Christians should be ready all of the time. To quote from our gospel reading, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." On hearing this morning's New Testament reading, Matthew's first audience would have been reminded of the great crisis that was going to sweep over Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside at a date that was to them in the unknown future, though we now know it was AD 70, at the climax of the war between Judea and Rome. Something was going to happen which would devastate lives, families, and whole communities. A terrible, frightening event, but at the same time, the event was to be seen as the coming of the Son of Man, or the Parousia, the royal appearing of Jesus himself. It will be a swift and sudden sequence of events which will end with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Nobody knows when this will be. Life will carry on as normal right up to the last minute. The event will divide families and work colleagues down the middle. The message from Matthew, therefore, is for moral preparation. One must ever be prepared to give an account before the divine justice from which there is no escape. The Parousia may come at any time, and with that coming, bring hope to a broken world. Our Old Testament reading this morning falls near the end of Isaiah, and here too people have experienced a broken world. The long exile in Babylon has finally ended, and people have returned to their homes. However, they've returned to vacated homes and ravaged communities. Their homes, their infrastructure, their faith community are all in tatters. Everything needs rebuilding. The people are demoralized and dubious of their future. but to people beaten down by years of oppression and facing bleak prospect for a better day. God speaks a fresh and startling word through Isaiah. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. Isaiah gives the people a glimpse of God's dream for the world. The dream breaks old molds and forges new ground. Former confusions, sins, and miseries of the past shall be forgotten. Isaiah has trouble painting the vision because mere words are not up to the task. He can only speak poetically to convey what God has in store. So he says in verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will become a vegetarian and eat straw like the ox." The harmony in creation will be so extensive that not only will humans live together in peace, but grace and reconciliation will even extend to the animal kingdom too. Isaiah's words, describing God's dream for the world, can instill hope in us and in countless generations. When we sometimes despair inevitably about the state of the world, about poverty, violence, and suffering, these words inspire us to look beyond the present to a time when the values of God's kingdom begin to take root throughout the earth. Now, what do we mean by the kingdom of God, the new heavens and the new earth? Essentially, it's about a new world order where God's rule prevails. Isaiah envisages an end to rivalry in nature and society, a shared existence where hospitality replaces hostility, where prey and predator live peacefully together, and where the peoples of the world are united in peace and harmony. However, recent political developments in our own time, in America, Britain, and perhaps even in our own society, when we consider the protests against direct provision for asylum seekers, that suggests that significant numbers of people, many who would claim to be Christian, hold a contrary view. There's been much talk of racism in our media recently, but this master race syndrome is by no means new. Albert Schweitzer, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, confronted it about a century ago. Franco-German by birth, the son of a Lutheran pastor, he was very accomplished and quickly acquired a reputation internationally as a theologian, musician, and philosopher. He was appalled at the racist mindset of white Europeans towards African peoples, not only by centuries of enslavement, but by the ruthless exploitation of their continent by competing colonial powers. He wrote, "If all this oppression and all this sin and shame are perpetrated under the eye of a German God or an American God or the British God, and if our states do not feel obliged first to lay aside their claim to be Christian, then the name of Jesus is blasphemed and made a mockery." He himself abandoned his comfortable professional lifestyle. He trained as a doctor and moved to Labourin in Gabon in West Africa to care for the sick. Schweitzer believed that Christianity was the answer to the world's troubles, but only if individuals lived it. Now, it might be tempting for us to sit passively on the sidelines and wait for God to engage in the great rebuilding of the world. However, Isaiah's vision makes clear that the mending of the world is not simply a divine construction project. Undoubtedly, God does play the crucial role in rebuilding, but God does not labor alone. In Isaiah's vision, the people and God will strive together. Isaiah begins by saying, God will create new heavens and a new earth. But lest we think that God will accomplish this apart from us, he adds in verse 21, they will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. In other words, we are part of making the new heavens and the new earth a reality. To quote from Albert Schweitzer, whom I mentioned earlier, speaking about making God's kingdom a reality, he said, "The miracle must happen in us before it can happen in the world. We must indeed labor for its realization. But there can be no kingdom of God in the world without the kingdom of God in our hearts. The starting point is our determined effort to bring every thought and action under the sway of the kingdom of God. Nothing can be achieved without inwardness. The Spirit of God will only strive against the spirit of the world when it has won its victory over that spirit in our hearts." Sometimes when we look around, it may seem that we're looking into a state of flux. How we do church, politics, media, communications, and climate are all changing. Where will the change end? What kind of lifestyles will we end up living? Many of us may feel a bit dislocated and have lost our bearings. Authority, to a great extent, has been eroded. We need to be part of renewal. We need a vision where we can praise the God of creation, of new heavens and a new earth. We need building blocks to help make that vision a reality. Gerard Manley Hopkins, in his poem, The Starlight Night, suggests those building blocks for God's creation are prayer, patience, and stewardship. The poem goes, "Look at the stars, look, look up at the skies. Ah, well, it is all a purchase, all is a prize. Buy them, bid them what? Prayer, patience, alms, vows." Christ came into this broken world. He came into our midst and made his home amongst us. Jesus speaks of a second coming in Matthew and the consequence of that for us to be morally prepared. The great Christian hope is that he will come again. He will usher in a new heaven and a new earth, and he will be the light in our midst. Isaiah's prophecy of God's kingdom is intended to both encourage and challenge us to work for that harmonious creation. The kingdom of God is not some airy-fairy idea. It's an alternative lifestyle, bringing healing to a divided and unjust world. We need to look around us to see how we can grow that vision. That's our decision and our hope. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.